I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. There's much to learn about being an overcomer, and being strong in your spirit is just as real as being strong or weak in your body. And in order for your body to be strong, it has to be fed. And for your spirit to be strong, it has to be fed. But not, you know, hamburgers and hot dogs. What do you feed your spirit? Well, words. And the thing that will build you up, the Bible says, and make you strong to be able to lay hold of your inheritance, is the word of His grace, the word of God. The word of life. These words in the Bible are God-breathed. They are inspired. They are like, this book is like no other book on earth ever, ever. If you think so, you're wrong. The more you learn about it, you realize it had to come from divine source. Because of the things, all of the prophecies, for instance, and the accuracy and the perfection. And it's interesting to see a lot of the things that the Lord told His people in the Old Testament was before the days of people even understanding a lot of things about science and before the microscope or the telescope or all that. How would they have known? They didn't know. God knows. But it is not an ordinary book. And so the words don't have an ordinary effect on you and I. They have an extraordinary spiritual building up, changing, life-giving, life-changing effect. So let's pray and receive more of these words today. Father, we thank You, thank You, thank You for Your words. No words are like Your words. And we open up our hearts and our minds to receive them today. We ask for utterance. We ask for anointing and direction and guidance. We ask for everyone ears to hear and eyes that see and a heart that can receive. And we'll give You the praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank You, Lord. Would you look again in the Scriptures at Psalm 23? We began yesterday's class talking about faith for provision. We're beginning a new series, and we're going to camp on this for some time now and see reason after reason from the Scriptures, not just what people think, but from the Scriptures, reason after reason, why we are sure it's God's will for all to have abundant provision. People say, well, aren't there a lot of people who don't have provision? There are. But that doesn't prove God's will. Did you know the Scripture said in Peter that God's not willing that any should perish? Well, are there people perishing? Absolutely. But according to Scripture, we know it's happening, but it's not His will. It's happening contrary to His will. And well, why would that be, you'd say? Isn't God in complete control of everything? No. No. God's not controlling all the human beings on this planet. He's not controlling everybody's beliefs and everybody's decisions and everybody's words and actions. Absolutely not. And if you don't agree with Him, and you don't believe Him, you won't listen to Him, you won't do what He says, then you won't have what is His perfect will in your life. If you want to experience His perfect will, you need to find out what His will is and believe it and receive it and pursue it. Where could you find out something like that? Where could you find out? It's in the Bible. It's in the Word of God. It is written. And so there are so many wrong religious ideas around. And because so many people are ignorant of the Word, they don't know to reject it when they hear it. It sounds right and reasonable to their unenlightened minds. And just because somebody who's supposed to be religious or spiritual said it, they just go along with it. And what you have also are traditions that have been passed down for generations. You know, I don't care if a doctrine is 600 years old. If it was wrong 600 years ago, it's still wrong now. And just because millions of people believe it doesn't make it right. You can't get enough people believing something wrong and turn it into something right. And no, the majority is not always right. Usually in this world, the majority is wrong. But God is right. Amen. How can I tell what's right? Get you a Bible and get in that Bible and join us and get in a good church that preaches the Bible, right? And everything, whether it's me or any other preacher you hear or pastor, examine everything you hear me say or you hear them say by this book. If you can't find it in there, don't accept it. I don't care if it's me or who it is. Examine it in line of the Word of God. And like I said, the Lord challenged me years ago when I first went to Bible school what do I believe? Where's it at? And that changed my life. And it's still changing it today. When I realize something, well, do I believe that or not? My next question is, where's it at? Right? Where is it at? And I've been studying this Word for decades now. But for every verse you understand, there's hundreds you barely know. Right? And so there's just so much light and truth and revelation in this book. And so every time something comes up and I go, well, now, is that right? Is that right? I had a thought. Somebody else said so. Even another preacher said something and preached it. Well, I don't care how much they believe it or how much I like them or if they're a personal friend of mine. Come on, are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
That does not mean I just say, well, I believe it too. No, I got to find it. Where is it? And then when you see, well, that looks like it. Well, where else is it? You'll find it in multiple places. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, the Scripture said, let every word be established. And so we're talking about, can we have faith to believe God for provision, material provision, for the money we need, for the food we need, clothes, a place to live, a place to stay, things for the kids and grandkids and education and all that kind of thing. Can I believe for that? Before you can believe God for anything, you've got to know it's His will. You got to know it. You got to become fully persuaded. As long as you're asking questions about, what if it's not God's will? You can't have faith for that. If you're asking that question, you cannot have faith in God for that. And it's dangerous to say, well, I'm just going to believe for this based on what? See, faith, believing based on nothing, is presumption. And that's dangerous ground. I mean, you're liable to just fall on your face and nothing happen, even though you're genuinely trying to believe for it. No, faith in God is based on what He said. If I'm going to believe Him to do something for me, it can only be based on what He told me He wanted for me. Hallelujah. Anything else is guesswork, conjecture, presumption, and that's why so many people get confused and they try to do things and it doesn't work. But friend, the Bible said nobody ever really trusted in him and was made ashamed or was disappointed. And every time you trust him to do what you found out he said he wanted to do for you in his word, every time you will experience success. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You every time. Why? Because there's no way he's not going to keep his word. There's no way he's not going to watch over that word and perform it. So we're going to be asking the question and we're going to be answering it from the word. Is it God's will for us to have material provision and provision of for everything in this life? Is it his will? Or, as some people believe, is it God's will sometime to be in lack? Does God use lack? You know, people say, well, when I went through those hard times, I prayed a lot and I got close to God. Well, it's not good that it took that to get you to pray. Right? You could have prayed in good times. Is that right? You could have drawn close to God. I'm glad you did and found some help. But the Bible warns us about calling good evil and evil good. Go with me to the book of Isaiah and let's notice this. Isaiah chapter 5. You'll find people are doing this. And the scripture told us not to. Isaiah 5 and verse 20, he said, woe to them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And notice what that's connected to in the very next verse. Woe to them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. See, there are a lot of people, and this includes theologians. This includes preachers with degrees, that they think they're wiser in that, well, it's not so simple, you know, good, evil, because, you know, God uses evil to bring out good. And sometimes something that's bad can actually be a blessing. Have you ever heard anything like this? It actually could be, you know, I know it was bad and it was horrible, but it was actually a blessing in disguise. No, that's wrong. According to the word, a blessing is never a curse. And a curse is never a blessing. And if God is working with evil, you and I might as well just quit right now. Huh? How are we going to make it? If God's working with the enemy, if God's using evil, we'd be hopelessly confused. How do I know what to resist? And how do I know what to receive? Because if the bad thing came from the Lord, Or if when I obey God, good things are supposed to happen, but bad things happened instead, but it could be a blessing in disguise. Do you see what I'm talking about? See, that's people who are wise in their own eyes. They think, well, y'all are just simpletons. You know, you think it's just good or it's evil. Yeah, simple and free. Simple and saved. Hallelujah. The Bible said when your eye is single, your whole body's full of light. Right? And that you can't waver or you won't receive anything of the Lord. And you know, the prophet said to the people one time, how long halt you between two opinions? Right? If the Lord's God, serve Him. And if this other, then serve it. But no, people like to think, well, yes, but you know, we learned in the ninth year of our graduate studies that, you know, God is doing things that initially you perceive to be evil, and that God is in control of it all anyway, and so he's using the evil to bring out the good. See, they think they're smart. They think they're wise, but they've become fools. No, the truth is so simple. A three-year-old can get it. God is good. You know what he does? Good. The enemy's bad. You know what he does?
Bad.
Do they ever swap jobs?
No.
Never. Never. The Bible said that God, and in fact, turn there with me to 1 John, if you would. We'll read this again, but 1 John, the first chapter, he said, "Woe to them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. If it's good, it's not evil, and it never will be. If it's evil," another word for evil is bad, "if it's bad, it'll never be good, ever. God is good. Will he ever become evil?
No.
Does he have evil parts to him?
No.
A hidden dark side?
No.
Huh? No. No. Somebody says, well, didn't he create everything? He did. Well, then, you know, evil came out of him. Wrong. Mm-mm. He created Lucifer, an angel, and a bright being. And the enemy perverted what God made him and twisted it into something evil and wrong. And the devil created lying and deception, not God. He twisted. And the enemy can't really create anything good. Well, he can't create anything good. But what he does is twist things that already exist into something wrong. But that's not God. And you'll hear people say that have, you know, done all kind of wrong things and say, well, I'm sorry, but God made me this way. No, no. The Bible said in Ecclesiastes that God has created men upright, but they have sought out many inventions. God didn't make anybody bad. And God didn't make anybody anything that he ever forbade in the scriptures. Ever. That's never happened. It's never going to happen. But through all kind of things, people have yielded to wrong influences that have twisted and changed. But it's real simple. If it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's not God. Right? It has to do with the enemy, our people, but not God. Somebody say, God is good.
God is good.
God is good. We're actually into another reason now why we're sure it's God's will for all of us to have abundant provision all the time. You know why? Because God is good. Hallelujah. And provision is good. Having plenty to pay your bills?
Good.
Having plenty for you and your kids and grandkids to eat?
Good.
Having plenty of good clothes to wear?
Good.
Having a good way of traveling and plenty of fuel and money?
Good.
Somebody say good. Good place to lay your head at night? Good bed? Good sheets and pillow to sleep on?
Yes.
Somebody say good.
That's
good. Good. Sleeping in a wet ditch.
Oh, no.
Bad. Is that right? Bad. Not enough to eat. Belly growling, hungry.
Bad.
Yeah, but it could be good. No, it's not good. It'll never be good. No. No. That's the reason why we're talking about this. And we're going to keep talking about it. And you say, well, I just don't know if I agree with you. Well, that's not good enough. Where are the scriptures that support what you say you believe? Where's it at? Where did God ever say lack is good? You going hungry is good. You not being able to pay your bills is good. Where? People say, well, but that's how you learn, you know, character, is by going through the hard stuff. Well, there's a whole other side of this, and that's being persecuted for your faith and being willing to sacrifice for your testimony in faith. We're not talking about that right now. But yeah, they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer. Not being broke all the time, persecution. That could include somebody confiscating something you've got because of your faith. But that doesn't mean that loss is a good thing. You still got God to give you more stuff. Hallelujah. Take care of you. And anything that you lose or give up or let go for His sake, the Bible said you'd reap 100-fold now in this time and in the world to come, eternal life. But no, coming back to just this basic thing, talking about this part of it, never is it good to be in lack. And they say, well, yeah, but that's, you know, that's how I developed my character. Well, now, is God good character or bad character? Help me out. Huh?
Good.
Completely good? Did He develop His good character by going through lack?
No.
Huh? Did God develop His good character by suffering hunger and not having a good place to live? Are you joking? We're talking about God here. Huh? There, with Him there is no lack. And we just read yesterday's class, to those that fear the Lord, there is no want, no lack. Look at this in 1 John. We read, you know, in Isaiah, don't call good evil and don't call evil good. But in 1 John 1, verse 5, he talks about, this is the word that came to us, we give to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. The original words here are very pointed and specific. It's, in God, there is no darkness, and like a pause, and none. No darkness, none. Emphasis. And listen to these other translations, because they bring that out. The BBE says, God is light, and in Him there is nothing dark. Say it out loud. In Him, there is nothing dark. He goes on to say, verse 6, if we say we're joined to Him and we're walking still in the dark, our words are false and our acts are untrue. Why? You didn't get darkness from Him. You didn't get evil from Him. If you're into some evil and darkness, you didn't get it from Him. Right? And if you're experiencing darkness and evil, it didn't come from Him. And the Weiss translation, I particularly like this. I think this is very, very accurate. He said, it is the message which we heard from Him, and at present it's ringing in our ears. And we're bringing back tidings, our news to you. This sounds like the gospel, doesn't it? Back tidings or good news to you, that God, as to His nature, is light. And darkness in Him does not exist, not even one particle. that tells it. That emphasis I was talking about. That God, as to His nature, that's what He is, inside and out. Light. Hallelujah. Is there anything dark in Him? No, nothing. Nothing. Darkness in Him does not exist, not even one particle. All light, all life, all good. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Well, is light good or bad? Huh? Is it a light day or a dark day when you're getting kicked out of your house and you can't pay your bills? That's not a bright day. That's not a happy day when things are being repossessed and and you need money for basic necessities, and you know, you want to go be a part of something, and you can't even leave the house. You can't travel. You can't put gas in your car. You don't have a car. You don't have a place to live. Is that bright?
No.
Is that happy?
No.
Is that light?
No.
That's how people get depressed, right? Mm-hmm. How people get subdued. How people get ashamed and withdraw. You know, even little kids going to school, they don't want wore out clothes, right? They don't want to feel like people are looking at them and making fun of them because, you know, they got, you know, big sister's outfit that she got from her big sister, you know, and it's just out of style and wore out and threadbare or ripped or whatever. Somebody said, well, does that make that much difference? It does. It does to God. It does to them. It's not the will of God. What's wrong with the kids getting some new clothes? Feeling good about it?
Yes.
Getting some new kicks?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean the new style.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And so, oh man, you got those new, you know, Jordans or whatever it is, you know. And you go, oh man, yeah. Does that make you feel like going to school?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, stirs you up. Same thing when you're 40 years old and you're going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's right.
Got some new threads. Got some new stuff, got a new do, whatever it is, right? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? But see, you got people who try to tell you, yeah, but you know, maybe it's God's will, you know, for you to suffer with the lack and suffer with the... No, it never is. Now, you never want to put those things ahead of God. You don't want to make an idol out of any of those things, but it's always God's will for you and I to enjoy abundance and plenty. He even said, if you'll be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Is it His will?
Yes.
It is His will. Our time's up again. Say it out loud like we do. I live by faith. I walk by faith. I overcome this world and all of its lack and all of its poverty and all of its junk. How? By faith, I am strong in faith, giving glory to God. Do you feel like these scriptures are putting something in you?
Yes.
About this? Are
yes.
you coming up?
Yes.
Are you getting stronger?
Yes.
Look out.
Yeah.
Here we come. Well, come back tomorrow for some more. We'll see you soon back here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.